reading a study a gentleman did on the subject communion of the saints, and I was really surprised, as he was really surprised, at how some denominations have so complicated the communion of the saints. And how some denominations have written into the communion of the saints many sacraments and many things that they have to do to make sure that they're in line with the proper term of communion of the saints and so forth and so on. And the more you read it, the more burdensome it became. And you know what? The Scripture says that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a simple, simple message. The communion of the saints is a simple, simple a celebration. The Lord Jesus doesn't make any... I promise you this, the Lord Jesus has made things just as simple as He possibly can for us because we are sheep. And what does the Bible say about sheep? The sheep are the dumbest animals on the face of this earth. And I mean, that may be belittling to you, but that comes from the Scriptures, and we are sheep. And I'm thankful that we are sheep that are not without a shepherd. Amen. Tonight, if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn. Well, I'm going to begin. I want to share from John chapter 1, verse 29. But if you will, turn with me to Genesis chapter 21. Or Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, we'll begin there, but I want to share two verses of Scripture, or a couple of verses of Scripture from the New Testament, but we'll be in Genesis, and we'll begin there in chapter 17. In John chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible, the Scripture says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And in John chapter 8, verses 56 through 59, the Lord Jesus Christ, in conflict with the Jews are mocking Him, criticizing Him, and antagonizing Him. Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad." Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. John the Baptist recognized the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." When did Abraham see the day of the Lord Jesus Christ? When did Abraham see the day of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, as we have an opportunity again, Father, to fellowship in your Word, Father, and also to celebrate our communion service tonight. Lord, I thank you for each one that's come this way tonight. The weather outside is frightful, as the song goes, Father, but it's just a wonderful delight to see these that have come tonight. I ask you, Father, to bless them. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us tonight. Father, there can be nothing done tonight unless, of course, the moving of the Holy Spirit blesses us and just uses each and every one of us tonight, that we might open our hearts and minds to your Word. We might open our hearts and minds to the understanding of your Word, that not only do we hear it here, but, Father, we take that Word out and we share it with a lost and dying world. Father, bless your people tonight. Bless your Word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It was Abraham that first spoke of this lamb to his son Isaac. It was Abraham that first mentioned the Lamb of God to his son Isaac. God had promised Abraham that Sarah would bear him a son. What was the problem with Sarah? What was the problem? Sarah had a problem. What was that problem? She was barren. That's right. She was too. She was too old. She was beyond that the age of childbearing. The scripture in one place identifies Sarah as having a womb that was dead. But God had promised Abraham that Sarah would bear him a son. Never mind that they were both beyond childbearing age. God made the promise and Abraham believed God. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, if you're there, Genesis chapter 17 and verse 19, the Bible says, "And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." This was God's promise to Abraham. Sarah, even though she was barren, God would bring forth a child from her womb. His name would be called Isaac, and God's promise was that Isaac's seed would be blessed after him. And God was faithful to his promise. Sarah, at the age of 90, gave birth to Isaac. God had blessed them with a son. And in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 8, if you'll turn there, the scripture says, "And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned." And so God came through with his promise. Now all Abraham had to do was to enjoy his son and wait upon his grandsons and granddaughters to come after him. But then we turn to Genesis chapter 22. Now remember the promise. The promise was that Sarah would have a child. That promise God was faithful to complete. He also promised that Isaac would bear seed after Isaac. So God's promise was that Isaac would have children, or he and his wife would bear children. But look at this trial that God puts Abraham under. Genesis chapter 22. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt," or that is to test or to try, "Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and Abraham said, Behold, here am I," or "Here I am. And God said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And by the way, the mountain Moriah will be the same mountain in the future that will bear the burden of the cross of Christ, the beloved Son of God. And verse 3 says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass or donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him." There's no responses recorded of Abraham. God had promised him a son and gave him one. God had promised him grandchildren too. And while this may not be possible with Isaac dead, Abraham nonetheless trusted God, and the Bible says he rose up early in the morning to set about the task that God had given him. I can't imagine what was going through Abraham's heart waking Isaac early in the morning. This must have been the hardest thing Abraham ever had to do up to this point in his life. What would he tell Isaac about today's journey? I've shared it with you before, but every time I think about this and every time I read about this particular incident with Abraham waking his son Isaac early in the morning, reminds me of when my father used to deliver milk in Indiana. He drove a milk truck, and on Saturday mornings he would wake us. He would take us with him. I mean, my at least two of us, we would go with him. And early in the morning, before the sun rose, he would be up. He would be fixing breakfast. We would be, and then he'd come upstairs and he'd wake us up, and you know, he'd help us to get dressed because we were little folks, and he would just about have to lead us downstairs to the kitchen table. The sun still, I mean, it's still dark outside, but you look outside and you'd see the truck out there, the lights on the truck, and you see the exhaust coming up, and most of the time it was cold, like it is today. But it was a wonderful time. We knew we were going with our dad, and we knew that we would be with him all day, and it was a lot of fun to be with dad. Dad would whisper to us, you know, be quiet, be still, let's, you know, and we'd go down and eat breakfast, and then we would go with him in the truck. What would Abraham tell his son about their day's journey? What would he tell Sarah? Did Sarah even know that they were leaving? But they rose up early and they traveled for 3 days. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off." This event in Abraham's life will be a shadow of the event to play out in the distant future when God will offer up his own son, his only begotten son, for the sin debt of the whole world. Verse 5 says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." And what are the next words say? "And come again to you." I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Note, Abraham speaks of both he and the lad going and coming. Abraham had no idea what God was going to do here in his life, but he had placed his trust in God before and had not been disappointed. He will trust God even in the shadow of death. Verse 6 says, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering." And where did he lay that wood? He laid it upon Isaac his son. "And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Abraham the father, Isaac the son, the fire, the judgment." And note that the wood is placed on Isaac's back, just as the cross was placed upon Jesus' back. "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father." And he says, "Here am I, my son." And Isaac said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Can you imagine the lump in Abraham's throat? I can even imagine his heart dropping. But look at what Abraham tells his son. Verse 8. "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. Here is the truth of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. The coming of the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. John 3:16 tells us that God did provide himself a sacrifice. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And John the Baptist confirms to us that God's Son is the Lamb of sacrifice. In John 1:29 again, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And he was speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The atonement of man was a God the Father and God the Son affair. The Father delivered the stroke that killed his own son. That's right. When the tabernacle was completed, the Shekinah glory of God descended upon the Holy of Holies, and the first sacrifice on the altar was consumed by the fire that came forth from God. In Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24, listen to what it says. The tabernacle is built, the tabernacle is completed, and the very first sacrifice is laid upon the altar. And the Holy of Holies, which is inside the tabernacle, where God dwelt. You knew that God was in the Holy of Holies because during the day there was a cloud, the Shekinah glory of God, the cloud over the tent. And then at night you knew that God was in the tabernacle or in the Holy of Holies because there was a what at night? Fire. There was fire at night. God's presence was always with the Israelites. To a point, at one time, there was a point when God removed himself from the temple. But the sacrifice was laid on the altar, and out from the Holy of Holies, a fire came and consumed the offering. And there, Leviticus 9:24 says, "And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." It was God's power that came forth to consume the lamb offering. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief." God the Father sacrificed his own Son for the benefit of others, and yet the Son was willing to lay down his life. Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." In Isaiah 53:7, the Bible says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Christ was a willing sacrifice for you and for me. In John chapter 10, verse 17 through 18, the Bible says, "Therefore," Jesus says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." In verse 9 of Genesis chapter 22, the scripture says, "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood." You'll note that we don't read of anywhere where Isaac resisted his father. We see Isaac submissive to the will of his father. Isaac was a perfect shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." What a test. What a test. God sent Abraham a test of faith, and God was watching him all the time. And the question is, do you think God is out of the testing business tonight? Do you think that God is out of the testing business tonight? Well, I'll tell you this. In my own life, I can testify to you, he's not out of the testing business. He's not out of the watching business either. Every day, if you're walking with the Lord Jesus, if your faith is centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ, every day the devil's going to come and try to and test you. The devil wants to destroy your testimony. And yet every day as we walk, I mean, if we begin our day with the Lord Jesus Christ, we end our day with the Lord Jesus Christ, every day God is going to allow us, give us that strength and that courage to persevere through the test. Is God out of the testing business? I don't think so. Is Satan out of the testing business? I don't think so either. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, Paul says this, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And in verse 13, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." What does a test do for us as Christians? When a situation comes our way in life, and it's a burdensome situation, What does that help us to do? It gives us an opportunity to trust Christ in the midst of that situation. It gives us an opportunity to build our strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it builds our confidence in our relationship to the Lord Jesus. It makes us more bold in our testimony of our relationship to the Lord Jesus. And it helps us to realize that God is the God of strength, and He is also the God of deliverance. No matter what the test might be, as we lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll bring us through. And finally, in verse 13, the Bible says, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." And so here we see that God provided a sacrifice, just as He promised. Tonight, through the ordinance of communion, we are reminded that Christ is our sacrifice for sin. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And the Bible says, by His stripes, we are healed. Is that talking about physical healing? The other night we had this particular portion of Scripture was brought up, and Brother Charlie pointed out very clearly, and rightly so, that this is not talking about physical healing. This is talking about spiritual healing. God, through His shed blood on Calvary's cross and subsequent resurrection from the dead, delivered us from eternal judgment, placed us in a proper standing before His Father. As God looks down today and looks upon us, He looks through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has washed us in His blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, again, as we've had opportunity to share in these verses briefly, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You again, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as we enter into the communion service, Father, we would ask You to minister and bless. We thank You, Father, for this celebration. Father, help us to remember tonight about what communion is all about. And Father, as we participate, help us to examine our hearts. And whatever's there, Father, that might be of a sinful nature, Father, help us tonight to lift that up to You and ask forgiveness for our sins before we ever enter into this communion service. Father, we ask Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.